Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to the original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast, brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes.
It's that time again, David. Podcast time. Talker United, Herald Express, Yellow Army podcast, Devon Live as well. All the names under the sun, this podcast. We just had a chat with Gary, didn't we, at Seal Hayne. Interesting times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the best week.
No, three defeats on the trot.
In the club's history, and two costly home defeats.
Yeah.
With defeat snatched from the jaws of at least a point.
Yes, yeah, not victory, but almost definitely a point.
Well,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And what would have been a deserved point, the way the two equalisers came. And that's what makes it all the more frustrating and worrying and all the stuff that we know about and that's gone on the last few days. And United have got to turn it round.
Gary's post-match interview after the Bromley game was quite down, wasn't it? But why wouldn't it be? You know, he's just watched a team lose a game like that. Today was a bit better.
Well, yes, and you'd hope and expect him to be better. You know, it's Thursday. You've got 2 days of training before they set off for Aldershot on Saturday. And you can't walk around with your head on your chest all the time. And he isn't. It was just that I think, you know, United have won 4 games at home all season, 4 league games, and that was their 8th home defeat on Tuesday night. From where I've been watching and listening, I think the vast majority of the season, Talkie fans have been amazingly good in the circumstances.
Yeah.
And obviously, Tuesday's defeat and the way it came was a bit too much for for some of them,
for everyone.
And obviously there was the reaction that we saw. I can think of an awful lot of clubs further up country where that would have happened quite a long before now. But it was and Gary obviously spoke in the wake of that and the booing at the final whistle.
You're talking about the banner.
Banner. I understand there was a few banners taken along a couple of weeks ago when United were in a similarly poor run, and I think they were taken off people before they went in the ground. Mm. So, look, this. We watch games up country, don't we? We watch the Football League highlights, and this sort of thing kicks off all the time at other clubs, and probably quicker than it actually has at Plainmoor. But there's a lot at stake here. As Gary Johnson said after the game on Tuesday, nobody wants to go back to the place where United were when he walked in 4.5 years ago.
Exactly.
And that's what's at stake. And everybody's not just worried about the team and about the results, there's the whole what happens, in the bigger picture of what happens at the club if United go down.
Should we go and have a listen to what he said?
Yeah.
A longer intro than usual, but it's kind of that kind of week, isn't it, I think? Yeah, let's go and have a listen to what Gary Johnson said, and we'll see you on the other side of Gary Johnson.
Right, Gaffer. After what's been undoubtedly a difficult last couple of home games, is this where you call upon all your experience to take you through that challenge?
Obviously, whether you're winning the league or not going so well in the league, you have days where you're disappointed about. The last 3 games, you've got every right to 5 minutes after the game to be a bit down, because we've had a game where we've had a lad sent off at half time and lost by the odd goal after being in the lead. Then we've had 2 home games where we've played relatively well, certainly was in the game both times, and then a last minute goal against us twice when we did have a lot of opportunities in both our last 2 home games. And then there's sort of like negativity is you know, you can't come out and be Billy Butlin. Do you know what I mean? And you can't come out and say, again, we was unlucky, again, we've had more opportunities. So that's where we are. But we, you know, of course, the experience tells you that, you know, you're still in the competition as far as still got a chance to get out of the problem we're in. A lot of other clubs are having the same as us and are a bit worried about their position. And we've just got to keep going. And the lads, I think as well, the lads have put so much effort into the last few games because some of the lads have, you know, played a lot of minutes in some, you know, big games, and they were disappointed as well. So, you know, we just, you know, I always say, you know, you take a day or two just to reflect on it, learn from it, speak to the lads, we'll have a review today as normal, and then we're totally concentrated on the next game, which is another cup final. You know, there's, what is it, 13 cup finals, whatever they say. But we got to make sure that the boys are up for every game, and a couple of results on the trot won't go amiss, as we say every week as well. But the lads are up for it, I know that for a fact, and we've got to keep going.
Because it must be tough for the players, because if you have a look at, well, obviously not going to be pleased with the end result, but if you have a look back at the highlights, they've created a lot of opportunities, there was blocks at point blank range and that. So it must be tough for the players to actually react, like put all that in and actually not get a result at the end of it.
Yeah, well, I said after the game, didn't I, you know, that the highlights should be interesting. But we all, you know, we all, players, managers, supporters, we all get, reporters, we all get disappointed when our team loses on the last kick of the game. You know, we did that to so many teams over the since I've been at Torquay, that, you know, other teams have gone home a little bit like that because we've scored last minute goals. But the fact that we, you know, the last two we got sort of late goals, got ourselves, you know, back in the game, and then give it away through mistakes. But mistakes are done in the Premiership and the Championship and the World Cup, and, you know, goalkeepers make mistakes, everybody makes mistakes, and you know, some make more mistakes, of course, but you've got to alleviate that if you can. But games are won and lost on those sort of things, so that's again why, you know, we was a bit disappointed after the game, everybody was, you know, everybody. And you know, you can't act. I can easily act and come out and say, don't worry about it, you know, we're all right, you know, we're gonna stay up. But you know, you can't talk about what you've just seen and not hypothetically what's going to happen in the future.
Now, after the game, obviously it was announced that Dylan De Silva had returned to QPR, but one player that actually showed up well in his place on Tuesday night, as he had done a few days before, and it's Lewis Collins. Yeah. He was brought in as a striker, but also shown that he could offer something on the wing as well.
Yeah, he would class himself as both. You know, he's happy. He's not a striker playing right winger, or a right winger playing as a striker. You know, he's done both. I suppose his ideal position would be like a 4-3-3 with him, you know, one of the wider ones up front. But he done well, and there's more to come from him. He's a really good athlete, and I thought they looked quite sharp, Lewis and Kieran, coming in off from wide areas. We just couldn't get that elusive goal that was a yard out, and we missed the ball twice. Do you know what I mean? And you know, that's the sort of thing that happens. And as I say, you know, they've got to just keep running their fastest, keep, you know, putting in their high speed runs, etc., and defending and getting more goals so that you win the game. But that didn't come, so that was disappointing. The lads were disappointed with that as well, because, you know, you saw how Bromley celebrated at the end as if they'd won the World Cup, and it was a good win for them because they knew that they were in a bit of a, you know, tough game there.
Just a lot about the spirit of your side, and they're clearly doing everything they can to get that those wins for the home crowd. That having equalised late on in both games,
yeah.
A lot of teams have been happy to take a point at the death, but on both occasions your team have gone out there to try and get all 3 points, and that's to their credit, isn't it?
It is, because what it's all in hindsight, isn't it? In hindsight, yeah, we would have, you know, the other game not all gone up for the free kick in the hope of getting the winner. And this time, you know, you may have kept it in the corners for a little bit longer, but we were in the ascendancy both times, and looking like we were dangerous, and so you have to go through with that, and then just a couple of mistakes towards the end has cost us, and of course it disappoints everybody when that happens, especially at home. But yeah, we've got other very, very important home games. We've got some very, very important away games. And anybody that turns up that supports the team is needed, absolutely, as I've always said. And you know, we need to get out of this. And the only way to do it is as a club, not just as a team.
And finally, Gaffer, obviously one of those tough games it's going to be on Saturday against All Shot Away. Home fixture, of course, saw your team put in one of the best points of the season, win 6-1. I would imagine you're not really going to be taking too much from that into this game. It's a completely different game on Saturday.
Yeah, I think they'll remember that. So we've got to be ready for them wanting to get their own back. Mid-table, we can pull them back a little bit towards the red zone, as it were. And it will be another 50-50 game that you've got to come through. And if you get a result, it'll be a fine result. If you lose, you're still not right out of it, but it means that Aldershot would have got a little bit further away. You're not going to drag them back in as early as you think if you win the game.
You were talking about support. Of course, one of the places that we always take a lot of fans is Aldershot, so that'll be a help, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's we talk to supporters as often as we can, and you know, people will obviously let their feelings be known. It's not something that's new to football, is it? So. The fact that they've turned up means that they're supporting you, and that's how I try and look at it. And you know, everybody wants their team to do well, and that's what we're trying every week to put on that performance that people enjoy. But people enjoy wins and the performance. Sometimes they don't enjoy a performance without the win, and. You have to put the two together, of course, and we understand that, you know, when people are travelling, we want to give them a reason, a good reason to enjoy their game, because they have travelled, and we do appreciate it.
You obviously an experienced manager of many games. How many times have you found yourself in this situation where it's coming sort of towards the end of a season and you've got work to do? Is it something you learn from previous experiences?
Yeah, well, you learn, you know, after a few defeats, it's the same feeling anyway. You have to keep working hard and keep, you know, players confident with the training that you do, and, you know, there's always another day, you know, that sort of stuff. And you have to treat it just like the next game. You know, once we've done our review today, that'll be it as far as that game's concerned. Then all of a sudden, the full focus is on Aldershot. And that's how we try and help the players get through adversity as well as ourselves. There's always another day. And I think we are absolutely good enough to get out of trouble. You're not going to win the league now, but there's still a lot of points to play for, and you've got to believe that, because you've got to believe that you've got a group of people and your club is strong enough to get out of the trouble that we've found ourselves in through for whatever reason, and there are a few reasons that we all talk about sometimes, and some of the reasons are not down to ourselves, if you like, as a club. You know, there's some decisions that have gone against us, and you get injuries at the wrong time, all that. I don't want to start with excuses, because recently we've been very close in every game. Even though when we've lost by the odd goal, which you don't like doing, but I think we've been in every game, and you could say, given the bit of a luck and bit of judgment from the third team that's out on the pitch, then we may, and I'm pretty sure we would have had some extra points, but we haven't, so we've got to keep fighting.
Taking that, you know, to its logical conclusion, if 2 years ago, if this decisions would be better, we'd be in the Football League anyway now, so.
Well, there you go. Yeah, exactly. That's very true. And, you know, that is a fact from, you know, the officialdom, if you like, you know what I mean? But, yeah, it still stays with you. Yeah. Never leaves you. And then I think we'd have kept most of our players, and then we could have built on that. But unfortunately, that's not football, how football goes. So, you know, I've been in those positions, and they're all, you know, you have to, the reason why I've been, you know, a long servant at most of the clubs I've been at that have been successful, is because that's sometimes the time that you need to build a successful group. Unfortunately for us last year, because of the situation, we sort of went back to square one that we had to then build again. And that's what we've been trying to do. That's mine, sorry.
I thought often the Man of the Match award each game raises a few eyebrows, but Kieran was terrific on Tuesday night, I thought. Do you feel he's been growing? He's not a great
he's
big lad, is
growing.
He? He can't be growing, but he's sort of like got stronger.
Yeah.
As a unit and as a player, he looks now like somebody who's actually almost starting to dictate games. I know.
He's there now.
Yeah,
Kieran.
Yeah. He's taken
now,
a while.
Yeah,
yeah.
It does, and you know, he's still learning the game.
Yeah,
but I thought he was a proper man in a football sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's taking the game to the opposition at the moment, and he's you know, been a good signing for us.
Yes.
And
is he an example in a way of the building process which you have to do with the group? He almost encapsulates what you've just been talking. The lad who's come out of Cardiff's under 21 team.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the thing is, you can't give me a name of a player that doesn't look like he's trying.
No.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. You know, that's important for a manager as well, because you need to, you know, you need to actually see that the team are playing for you and understand what they're trying to do, and what we're trying to do as a group. And then somebody like Kieran was absolutely lower than a snake's belly in the dressing room afterwards, as was Mark Halstead, as was Sean. You know, they knew that the last two, you know, were part of losing the last goal. It'd be somebody else next week. Kieran was upset because he did play well and deserved more of a result. And we have to pick them up, you know what I mean? But, yeah, as I said to you all after the game, you have to pick yourself up as well first. And then you go to them. And I've had some great texts from supporters. I don't know how they got my number, but some of the supporters, you know, give me some really nice texts, and it sort of rallies, if you like, the ones that you really care for. Do you know what I mean? And you know what it means to them, and they know what it means to you. Do you know what I mean? And so that's been pretty heartwarming over the last couple of days, which is nice. I know, you know, I was a bit down after the game, but everybody was. You got in our changing room, it was as if, you know, somebody had died and we was all, you know, really upset and at the funeral, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's football, and we need to, you have to get over it, and all of a sudden you've got to pick up. So Kieran's one that feels has got feelings for the game in his game. He's typical of the group that we got.
You've lost Dylan, obviously, been recalled.
Yeah.
That's it. Can it cause you a problem sort of selection-wise? Because, I mean, he had his own kind of skill set, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. It's why we couldn't pick him. I think he, you know, he half knew about it before we did.
Right.
And I didn't think he had his greatest game, the previous game. When we took him off, we was hoping he was going to get his game going, but I think he's won. He's still young and didn't need the gremlins in his, because he's enjoyed it here, would like to have stayed here. But obviously when your parent club says, you know, the new manager needs to see everybody, then he, unfortunately it turned out that was his last game anyway. We had actually agreed beforehand that he was going to stay longer. But as I say, when things change, the manager wants to see all the players that are under his command.
And that's just one of the football things, isn't it?
I mean,
you might do the same if you had lads out on loan. And
yeah, he gave a speech to the boys in the dressing room, which was nice, and then, you know, I heard the applause. I wonder what they were clapping. I don't know what's got to be, what's happening? And he enjoyed his time here.
Good.
It's not totally lost because, you know, the manager might decide, okay, you can go back out again, like, you know what I mean? But we'll have to wait and see. But again, he's got a lot to learn, of course he has, but he's got the tools, that's for sure.
On top of him, you've got two players had to come off injured on Tuesday, which is another concern, isn't it?
So suddenly
you might have, let's hope one of them at least is available, you never know. You almost lost three players from Tuesday.
Right.
Does that sort of nudge you into, without putting you too much on the spot, in to try and maybe get one in or go back into the market?
We're always looking.
I know.
We really are, and you can't rest on your laurels, and because you end up. We're not a big squad anyway because of the long term injuries that we've got. But we don't, you know, you try not to bring in players just for the sake of it.
Yeah,
it's not fair on them, and it's not fair on us or the other players. But it is becoming, you know, it is difficult to get the exactly the right players in. And we're looking for it all the time. I mean, me, Downsy and Pete and Louis, you know, we're looking every day at something that might turn up, and we'd be first into that player, if you like, and we've had so many. We're coming up against a lot of players that we spoke to, you know. But because ideally, you want the ones with the CV and the experience, and you know the medals to come here. But that takes time when we live in a place like we do.
We've got the last 13 games, we've only got 5 at home and 8 away. Do you think that's of any importance at all, with the fact that we've got 5, you know, that there's a back balance of fixtures or
I think it does. If you look at the, you know, we've won more at home or got more points at home than we have away, scored more goals at home than we have away. What we've got to do is change that mentality round to make sure that
let's face it, it's not the way you approach the games, is it?
No, exactly. We do obviously try and win the games. We're not going to go to Aldershot and, you know, park the bus, as it were. And Aldershot know that. All the teams know that. And we got to play our game, get our game going, and with an end product. And you get a couple of wins away at the moment. You're sort of evening it up with home and away, but we've got to have that mentality that the away games are going to be very, very important for the fact that we've got an imbalance of how many we've got.
Yeah. And, you know, let's face it, there were 400 fans at Dorking the other night, weren't there?
Yeah, they were. They were. And we said, like we always say, you know, appreciate you coming, but all supporters of all clubs, you know, some win more than they lose. Some lose more than they win, but if you're a supporter of a football club, you support them, don't you? You know,
yeah.
Come rain or shine, and we have to make sure that they know we're doing our best to do what we're trying to do for them, the paying customer. It's not quite worked out for us as well as it might have done this season, but not for the want of trying.
So that was Gary talking about Bromley and Aldershot. Let's have a quick talk about Bromley. It was disappointing, wasn't it? It was a mistake. We've spoken about it already this morning. You couldn't quite work out on the day without seeing a replay who'd made the mistake, but it really was a poor throw out followed by a poor positioning to pick up the ball followed by a poor tackle.
I think the what did everybody's head in on Tuesday was this isn't the first time that United have appear to have been caught by this sort of sucker punch. You know, they've looked vulnerable, and obviously that wasn't how the goal came on Tuesday, but for instance the one against Southend, you know, they were caught having just equalised with a 3-against-1 counter attack.
Yeah.
Now you either say, oh, very, very unlucky because they're going for the winner, you know, and they're caught rather than just, as Gary said in his piece, sticking it in the corner and game management and all this sort of stuff. You can either go down that road or you say, hold on a minute, this isn't the first time that they, you know, that United have been caught like this.
Trying to keep the game alive.
Well, and even in...
Instead of basically getting into the corner.
Yes, quite. So it wasn't, you know, if this was something that had happened a bit out of the blue, it would have been bad enough, but it was almost like, I can imagine the supporters thinking, you know, not again.
Mm.
Well,
that's what I thought.
Yeah, well, there you go. And then, of course, you know, Tuesday's against Bromley was... You know, they'd worked so hard. I mean, I thought Kieran Evans was terrific on Tuesday night. That's the best I think we've seen him play. And you know, all credit to him. He's battled through a very difficult season. I've often thought of the fact that they both happen to have come to United from the same club, Cardiff City, is only a coincidence. But Dan Martin last season, you know, went on very much the same journey as Kieran Evans has gone on. A young lad coming out of a Championship under 23 football into the National League, took quite a long time to get to grips with it, several setbacks, etc., etc., and then finally in the second half of the season you've got a man playing football again. And I thought Kieran Evans, you know, has looked like a very talented little lad for quite a long time this season.
Mm.
And you saw him on Tuesday night. He was as good as anything on the pitch on Tuesday, including their players.
Yep.
He's always been talented on the ball. He's got an engine which is growing and strengthening all the time. And, you know, if United can keep him up, which I'm sure he will, because he's quite a feisty little lad anyway, as we've seen, he could be a huge factor over the last few weeks of the season. I think we all took huge and should take huge encouragement from his performance on Tuesday and one or two others. Others, not. Quite, it wasn't a kind of a bankrupt performance by any stretch of the imagination. You know, United thoroughly deserved to equalise against a Bromley side that was playing, I thought Bromley looked a better team in the first half. They moved the ball quicker,
they did,
more accurately. They had more pace in their team, which is a issue which probably United can't, you know, improve that much now.
Especially with Dylan De Silva going as well.
There you go. So, you know, it's not as if United aren't capable of winning matches like that. They were very, very close to beating Southend and Bromley. So you have to take...
And Notts County, to be fair.
Well, at least getting a point.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So you have to take encouragement from that. You have to keep going. United, you, me, and the vast majority of supporters have seen United in these situations many times before, and they've pulled off so many great escapes that, you know, they ended up making a damn film about it.
Mm.
And we all know from past experience is that it's never over till it's over.
Mm.
And I think what Gary Johnson was saying the other day about, you know, we mustn't implode because one or two others might, I think that's probably what he was alluding to. You know, we've both seen relegation scraps go down to the last game or two.
Yep.
I've seen one go down as many United fans of into stoppage time on the last match and the police dog biting Jim McNichol. We've seen that. That's how it can go. And the one way that you can guarantee going down is getting all soft about it and actually mentally giving up before it's over. It isn't over until it's over, and United have to keep hanging in there and playing the way they played in the second half of the last, certainly the last two home games. And that, nothing less will do.
Yeah.
There's no point in pretending that, you know, the first half performances against Southend and Bromley will be good enough. They won't.
No.
They weren't disastrous, but they weren't good enough. And the second half performances were, you know, in terms of commitment. And I thought on Tuesday night they played some really great stuff, especially down the left-hand side. But you raised the point about Dylan De Silva just now. Not only have United lost Dylan De Silva, but obviously two players had to come off injured on Tuesday night, Dean Moxey and Tom Lapsley. Now, they are two huge performers for United. I'm pretty sure Dean Moxey is a hamstring issue. I think they got him off before he did too much
damage.
Real damage. Yep. Tom Lapsley, not 100% sure what's up with him. He nodded at me today on the way in and said, you know, you never know, it might settle down and I might be okay for Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
But as things stand, from Tuesday's squad, United may have lost three players all of a sudden in that. Now, I'm sure they will be trying to get somebody in because they need to. That's another little point in, you know, you go to Aldershot on Saturday with no Lapsley and no Moxey. Obviously, Asa Hall's still out, although thankfully he's back doing some light running again, we understand today. Dan Martin is still not quite there, so we're given to believe. You know, you're all of a sudden struggling again, or potentially struggling again. You know, another interesting little thing is, of the last 13 games, only five at Plainmoor and eight of them away from home.
Yes, yeah. Starting with Aldershot.
And Solihull Moors next Tuesday night.
Aldershot, my favourite club, as Guy likes to say.
Yeah.
Not a big fan. We beat them 6-1 earlier on in the season.
We did.
Let's get happy about something.
Absolutely. And I thought it was interesting that Gary Johnson said, he was asked...
would that make a difference to anything?
Do you remember? Would that have any bearing on Saturday's match? And he said, not from our point of view, but it might from theirs.
Yeah.
In other words...
They were wounded by that. Yeah.
Quite. If you were in the Aldershot dressing room or in the build-up to this game, you would probably be saying, you know, we've got to put that right. Whereas there's no point in the United dressing room, everybody telling each other how well they played against Aldershot a few months ago.
Absolutely.
Yes, it does have a bearing on one side, Aldershot's, but no, it doesn't on Torquay's.
What do we need to do at Aldershot, Dave, as a team performance? You know, obviously we need 3 points, but that's not as easy as just saying that,
no,
is it?
Off the top of my head, a clean sheet.
Yeah.
If we get a clean sheet at Aldershot, we win the game.
Okay, good.
In this league, I think...
I'm remembering that for next week.
Well, do you know what I mean?
In other
words, we cannot start keep giving goals away like giving goals... I mean, it's not as if we've been giving loads of goals away.
No, exactly. There's always been 2-1s.
And even the 3-2 at Dorking came with 10 men. So, in other words, if we keep clean sheets or find a way of keeping clean sheets, we win the game because United will find a way of scoring, or will almost certainly find a way of scoring. You've got Aaron Jarvis, been a real brick this season. He's got 13 goals now. You know, he's looking like a centre-forward that will score on a regular basis. You've got Kieran Evans, who's playing really well. You've got one or two others who look like they might get a goal. So a clean sheet, crucial, absolutely crucial. If the score comes up on Saturday and it's Aldershot nil,
then Torquay have won.
You've got a bloody good chance of winning. And the same at Solihull. I think Solihull Moors, they're a funny team, Solihull. When they're on it, they are one of the best teams in this league, as they showed at Plainmoor when they murdered Torquay at Plainmoor early in the season. They do have their off days where they, you know, fire a few blanks, but then nearly everybody except Notts County and Wrexham does as well. But Aldershot on Saturday, You know, United, Gary Johnson teams don't sit back. And as he said today, we won't go to Aldershot and park the bus. United are not built like that.
No.
They're probably not, you know, this isn't a Cyril Knowles team where, you know, goal against is a crime.
Yeah.
You know,
John MP in the back line.
All that lot. Yeah, this isn't a team that's set up to sort of play on the counter and keep everything tight. You know, Gary Johnson teams don't do that. And anyway, in this day and age, you're very, very difficult to find National League defenders who are good enough to do that anyway. So United will go at Aldershot, and they'll have a go, and quite right too, because that's what they're... Points won't get United out of this. And funnily enough, there's a team that is just coming back down who do draw too many matches, which is Yeovil, and who have dropped back into trouble after looking as if they were going to pull away, partly because they win so few games.
Yeah.
Gateshead are a pretty competitive, tight, you know, hard-working team, but they don't win.
They've
draw.
They've just had a point taken off
and
them.
Gateshead have had a point
which
deducted.
Was news to me this morning.
Yeah, which has dropped them, actually. It's hurt them, that point. It's pulled them back down. You only wins get you out. Get you out. Draws don't get you very far.
Yeah.
So United are actually better off. You know that the Barnet Dorking two games?
Yes.
They beat Barnet, they lost at Dorking.
Yep.
If they'd drawn with Barnet and drawn at Dorking, those would have been two perfectly good results
but
in the circumstances.
But not enough in the points.
But they were actually better off having beaten Barnet. And so, you know, to go and pull off, look, 13 games to go, United have probably got to win at least six out of those first 13 games. They haven't got to draw eight, because that won't get them anywhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
they've got to win. It's got to win.
Exactly. Yeah, they've got to win. So when you said, you know, about Aldershot and everything, United have got to go and win these games. Not all of them, but they've got to go and win probably half a dozen and scrap a few draws at somewhere else, and that would do it for them. But they've got to do it.
Very briefly, because obviously I appreciate that there was a lot of Gary today, but that means that there's quite a lot of, not pressure, don't get me wrong, Nico Lawrence has been proving that he's a player beyond his years. With Dean Moxie maybe out of the team, that's a lot of pressure on a player like Lawrence, isn't it?
I think Nico Lawrence, you could pick him in a World Cup final team tomorrow. It wouldn't make any difference to him.
Do you think he's been impressed that much?
Yes. Thought he's on Tuesday. That's the poorest start, and I don't mean this as a real criticism because he's been fantastic. And in a way, with a 19-year-old lad, you kind of half expect that there's going to be a little
moments.
Dip. Or
yeah.
And I thought he made a few mistakes in the first 15-20 minutes. Looked a little bit off it. And then, to his great credit, I thought he was terrific through the second half, and he looked just back to his normal, assured, you know, confident self. He's a class act.
Southampton could have done with him.
Well,
last night.
There you are. You know, I mean, I've done a piece in our paper this week on him, you look back at one of some of the centre backs that United have sent away over the last 20, 30 years, the Darren Moores, the Wayne Thomases, the Mike Williamsons, all ended up in the Premier League. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Nico Lawrence...
You think he's going to be one that makes...
I think he's got a potential to do it. Yeah. He's 19 years old, going on about 25,
which is
26.
Young for a central defender,
that's
of course.
That's right. And I think, you know, he had that slightly little kind of like, what do you want to call it, 90% start on Tuesday night, and you think, uh-oh, is this the thing... Got it back again,
but is that the measure of the kind of man that they can get it back? They appreciate what's not quite working and sort it out.
Yeah, and I thought he played really well second half again, and he looked back to the Nico Lawrence that we've seen ever since he's arrived. Look, he's 19. He, you know, we're not talking about you're expecting infallibility and perfection in every game. It's ridiculous. There will be little, you know, mistakes. He might mistime something or whatever, or you know, slight decision goes wrong. Of course. It's how you respond and you know, put that right is the making of somebody. And he's been a huge plus. As for what they do at left back, I mean, if Dean Moxie isn't fit, Well, I think obviously Ben Wyatt will come in and play as a left back. Yeah. Then the one thing about having Dean Moxey in the team, who's for me been our player of the year for the last couple of years without actually winning it, is that there is this reluctance to play him as an out and out left back.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, I've always defended his lack of pace because I think he's quicker than people give him credit for.
Absolutely.
Everybody looks at him at 37 years old.
They take that into account and don't think about it properly.
Correct. Yeah. They almost take it for granted that Dean Moxey isn't as quick as he used to be. Well, of course he isn't. But he doesn't get beaten for pace that often.
No.
But having said that, Gary Johnson has made a tactical decision to play three at the back with him as a left centre back. Now, whether him dropping out... I don't think it will have a... I apologise, you asked me about the effect on Lawrence. I don't think it will have a huge effect on Nico Lawrence. He just gets on with it and does his job. And I think it'll be interesting on Saturday whether they go to a four at the back and move Lawrence across to left centre-back, something like that. Yeah. Who knows? Or whether... stay at three at the back, or whether they go with four at the back and put somebody like Wyatt as an out-and-out left-back. He's played there many times before and can do it. So, you know, there's been a couple of players who haven't been involved for the last few weeks. Dylan Crowe hasn't been involved. Ali Omar hasn't been involved. Obviously, Jacob Mensah came in for his debut last Saturday.
Managed a half. Yeah.
And was taken off at half time.
Didn't have a greatest half, did
No, he? I mean, Jack Bridge of Southend is a pretty good player, and I think he'll end up higher than the National League, but... that wasn't a great, you know. But again, Jacob Mensah came to United from Maidstone. I always had the impression that he was a sort of a right centre back, something like that, or maybe a right back. And he was ending up playing at right wing back, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Which is a difficult position in its own right, especially when you're up against a player as good as Jack Bridge of Southend. So, we'll see.
We will.
It'll all come out in the wash, as they say.
And
fingers crossed that United can give themselves and the fans a lift.
We want to see a brighter post-match interview, don't we?
Well, look at after the Barnet win, and let's face it, it had been pretty poor before the Barnet win. It lost to Barnet in the trophy. Yep. It hadn't been great. They beat Barnet 2-1 on merit. 400 fans turned up straight away at Dorking the next night.
Yep.
And if United can... The fans... The vast majority of Torquay fans stick with the team through thick and thin as well as thick. They do.
Yeah.
And they're just desperate for something to latch on to give them the belief and the confidence that United can and will still get out of this. Give them that and they'll be there, no problem.
Absolutely. Well, on that, I think we'll say goodbye. Hopefully, we'll say hello to Guy. Hello, Guy. Hopefully you'll be back soon. Still signed off by the doctor, so officially not allowed to come and pod.
He's doing okay. He's doing okay. Yeah.
He watched the stream as well on Tuesday night. I think it was a bit cold, I think, and I think he decided to watch the stream. The stream, by the way, on Tuesday night, because I watched it as well because I was ill, so I didn't go to Playmore, was very good. Very, very good.
And I thought the commentary as well.
Well, that's what I mean. It's the commentary is the TAFC radio commentary as well. So Ray and Ian.
Yeah.
I thought they did really well.
Ray Duffy's commentary I thought was excellent. Yeah, I thought on the clips that I've seen.
I thought they did really well. I watched all those, as we all did during lockdowns.
Yeah.
Watched all those.
I was sat with Ray through most of them.
Yeah, exactly. And I've watched two away games this season, and Torquay United is by far the best so far that I've seen in any year or any team. So well done to them for that. I think that's a massive positive, because it's one of those weird things when you don't go to a game, and I only live around the corner, but I really wasn't capable of getting there on Tuesday night. You want to be there, and you're annoyed with yourself that you're not going, but I thought the stream was really good, really good. So well done. Anyway, let's we've talked too much, Dave, I think.
Aldershot away.
Aldershot away.
Another day, another game.
My favourite team, as Guy likes to say. And that one, we'll
come
say...
On. Come on, you... Come on, you yellows.
Come on, you yellows. We had to mess it up at one point.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below the Wembley Archway sky today. Come on, you yellows. For full of pride, buckle up.